Morning. Welcome each of you this morning. A special welcome to guests who have come our way. Glad to have each of you with us. We had a great gospel meeting, a revival last week with Keith Parker. There were a number of responses for prayer, and Brandon was baptized in the Lord. We're thankful for that. But you know, renewal is something that continues all the time. It's not a once-a-year thing. In fact, I believe that's one reason the Lord has the Lord's Supper every Sunday, so we can renew our faith, renew the foundation of our faith. As we worship together, we take of the supper and remember His death and His resurrection until He comes. I invite your attention to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 this morning. In our series in the Gospel of Mark, we'll be talking about Jesus walking on the water. Have you ever heard the story about the three ministers in Minnesota? You know, Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes. And there were three ministers in this small town, and a new minister moved into another congregation. So there were four ministers, and they invited him over to the picnic. There was a park across the pond, across that little lake from town. So they all met there at lunchtime for a picnic to welcome the new guy. Well, after a few hours, and they've enjoyed chit-chat and a little fried chicken and whatever else you eat at picnic, the first guy got up and said, "You know, it's getting late. I need to go on home." So he began walking across the pond to that small town. And the other ministers didn't blink an eye except for the new guy, because here's this guy walking on water. And he thinks to himself, "Boy, this is something special. I don't know about this place." Well, after a few more minutes, the second guy decides it's time for him to leave. The second minister gets up, walks across the pond, goes back to the other side, goes back to town. And he walks on the water too. Now this new guy is really getting concerned. "What's going on here? These guys seem to walk on water. I have just as much faith as they do." Third guy leaves. He walks across the water too. By now the new minister says, "I've got to do this. I know I have as much faith in Jesus as any of these folks." So he gets up and begins his walk across the water and soon is waist deep into the muddy water. The guys turn on the other side and say, "You know," one to the other, "I think we should have told him where the rocks are." That's how you treat the new guy in town. Well, today we're going to talk about walking on the water, but I assure you there were no rocks involved in Jesus walking on the water in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is not a small body of water. Think Clear Lake, think not quite as large as Tahoe, but it's a good-sized body of water. And our Gospel of Mark tells us that when Jesus walked across the water, the disciples were already 3.5 miles from shore. It was the middle of the lake. I'd like to reread our text. Matthew chapter 6. Follow with me if you would. Verse 45 following. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat." This is after feeding the 5,000. "And go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up to a mountainside to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake." Note that, no rocks involved, in the middle of the lake. "And he was alone on the land. And he saw his disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. And he was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid.' And then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. And they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about their loaves." Remember the loaves and the fishes? Their hearts were hardened. This morning, let's start with some background information. Why did Jesus go for this midnight walk on the water? Why was he walking on the water? Well, there are several reasons. John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 ends with these words. "After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did," that is, feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, "they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who's to come into the world.' Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. You get the picture here? Jesus has turned these loaves and fishes into enough for a multitude of 5,000. And the people see that a miracle has happened. And they see the power of Jesus, and they want to appropriate the power of Jesus and use it for their purposes. "Jesus, we want to make you king. We want you to be our military leader. We want you to go down with us to Rome and kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. We want to return Jewish sovereignty. They were ready to have a draft Jesus for king movement. Do you see that? John chapter 6. We also see the background of the walking on water in chapter 6 of Mark. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up to a mountain to what? To pray. You notice how many times Jesus gets away to a mountain? You notice how many times Jesus wants to withdraw, go up by himself, and spend some time with the Father? I believe Jesus wanted to put some distance between himself and the disciples and the people who were doing the draft Jesus for King movement. Jesus may have feared the disciples would be swayed by the political opportunity. So he sent them away. Get in the boat. Go across the water. And Jesus goes up into the mountain to pray. I suspect he is praying to affirm the spiritual nature of his mission. That he wasn't there to be made king by men. He was already king by God. He was a spiritual king and not a physical kingdom. His kingdom was not of this world. Jesus would not want to succumb to Satan's temptations to be a king of the world. Further in Mark chapter 6, verse 47 and 48, we read, "When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land." That's Jesus. "And he saw his disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake." Question, when's the fourth watch of the night? It's roughly 3 to 6 a.m., our time. What's what we call the darkest of dark. It's the time before the sun comes up. And you know the night is always darkest before the sun. You've heard that, haven't you? Or at least it seems so. And the disciples' boat was not doing well. And Jesus decided his disciples needed some help, and he was going to go rescue them. The only problem is they're already out in the middle of the lake. Jesus, therefore, the Son of God, has the power to do things that you and I can't do, and he walks out to them on the water. But let's notice what's going on. When the disciples see Jesus coming, you notice their immediate reaction? They're terrified. Now, this event has all the trappings of a good ghost story. Number one, it's dark. It's the fourth watch of the night. So it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's a time when everybody's going to be sleepy and tired and not thinking well. It's stormy. The wind's blowing. And the disciples see this personage coming across the water toward them. Now, most of the time, people do not walk on water, right? I guarantee you preachers don't. People don't walk on water. So the disciples in their thinking thought, who is this coming across the water? It must be a ghost. And they were scared. But Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Three simple statements of two or three words each. I don't know if this was true when your kids were growing up, but there were times when our kids were growing up when they were really young, you know, 2 and 3, and you needed their attention, and they were off in la-la land somewhere like this, you know what I'm talking about? And I'd put my hand on their head and turn their head toward me, and I would say very simple words, "Stop that now." You know what I'm talking about? You ever done something like that? Jesus does these simple words to his apostles. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Because the disciples were acting a little scared in the middle of the night because there's this ghost coming to them. Jesus wants to identify himself. He wants to say, guys, it's okay. It's me. I'm no ghost. I'm your friend. The disciples here show their humanity. Have you noticed that men are innately afraid of the supernatural? Mankind, I'm not talking just about males, I'm talking about women too. We are scared of the supernatural. And why are we scared of the supernatural? Because we can't control it. It's more powerful than we. And until we get to know Jesus and understand the goodness of Christ, we are scared of the supernatural. when we understand the goodness of the Lord, when we see He's on our side, He is for us, He's not against us, we put our faith in Him and trust Him and obey Him, we don't have to be scared anymore because we know who He is. And we know He loves us and He's for us. You see, when we know the character of Christ, we're no longer afraid of Him, because we know He's come to help us and not to harm us. And we get to know the goodness of the Lord. We want Him in our boat, and we're not scared to walk toward Him. You know, we're comfortable around people when we believe that they have our good purposes at heart, that they're for us, that they love us, and we see goodness in them. We're comfortable around them. But if we're not sure of each other's goodness, what happens? I'm not sure about this. You see, the disciples were innately fearful of the supernatural until Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And then that all changed. Oh, it's Jesus! It's okay. 10 years ago, I had open heart surgery. And in case you're wondering, I won't just let anybody open my chest and pull my heart out. I'm very picky about who gets to do that. It has to be someone who has the skill and ability to do that, and someone that I'm convinced has my best interest at heart. I'm sorry, but unless you have little experience with open heart surgery, I'm not signing the warrant that says that you can open my chest and you can pull my heart out. But I let a surgeon do that because I was convinced he knew what he was doing and he had my best interest at heart. And because the disciples were convinced that Jesus had their best interest at heart, their fear subsided and they were willing to let Him come into the boat, because the disciples would not have accepted a ghost rider, would they? When we get to know the Lord well enough that we're not afraid of Him, we know and trust Him as our friend, that He has our best interest at heart, we can welcome into our boat with joy, because God is good. The next part of our story is not found in the Gospel of Mark, so I'm going to go over to Matthew's account. It's Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 31. Matthew adds this that's important to fully understand the story. Immediately Jesus reached, 28. I read the wrong one. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" You see, once Peter realized it was not the ghost, but it was the Lord, his whole attitude changed from fear to embracement, engagement. "Lord," Peter said, "if it's you, ask me to come to you." Have you ever noticed the word "if" sometimes means since? Since it's you, "Lord, ask me to come to you." "Lord, it's you, ask me to come." It's been said that imitation is the highest level of flattery. And Jesus' walk on the water wanted to be imitated by Peter, because Peter wanted to get out there and do it too. If Jesus can do it, Peter said, "I want to do it too." I don't know about you, but I'm in a boat and the storms and the waves are turning around me. I prefer to stay in the boat. I'm not as adventuresome as Peter. Maybe the other disciples thought Peter had lost it. But notice Peter didn't just immediately throw his legs overboard and go run into Jesus. First, Peter asked Jesus permission to come. "Lord, since it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Since Peter asked Jesus permission, Peter's walk on the water was motivated by faith in Jesus. Peter had not lost his mind. Peter had found his faith. And his faith was in the Lord. The Lord told Peter, "Come!" And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. And he was doing really good for a while, right? Until what happened? "Oh, my lands, what have I done? The wind is howling, the waves are And Peter realizes, there's the boat and there's Jesus, and what am I doing here in the middle? And Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks around at his circumstances, and what happens? He gets a little bit wet, doesn't he? He begins to sink. But Jesus reaches forth his hand, pulls him up. And isn't that the story of you and me? As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, things are going pretty good. We get to walk on water. We get to do things in life we think we couldn't do because we have our eyes on Jesus. But guess what happens when I take my eyes off of Jesus and start looking at my circumstances around me? What happens? With his eyes on Jesus, Peter could do what Peter could not do under normal circumstances. Amen? It's not our power, it's the Lord's power. The Apostle Paul would later write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or through Him who strengthens me. Paul's not saying with bravado, I can do anything, look at me. No, spotlight's not on Paul at all. Paul's saying, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The power of faith is in the object of faith, and that is Jesus Christ. The power and faith is not in the subject of faith. That's me. I have the faith, but I've got to have that faith. But the power of my faith is not me. The power of my faith is one I believe in, Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter did real fine until he looked around and lost sight of Jesus, and he started thinking about the wind and the waves. And then he started to slip. It's amazing what we can do when we keep our focus on Jesus, and how poorly we do when we just look at the problems and circumstances that surround us. So here Jesus gently chides Peter. Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? How many times could the Lord say the very same thing to me? Now, like Peter, the Lord is there ready to reach out His hand for us to grasp if we begin to slip. The Lord wants us to keep our focus on Him and not on myself and my own problems. And when we see the goodness and the power of the Lord, let's ask the Lord to bid us to come to Him in faith, to step out of the boat and to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because remember, we do walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, let's take a look at the growing faith of the disciples. You know, the disciples in the boat are watching all this. They've seen Peter strolling out against the waves. They see Peter begin to lose his focus and take his eyes off of Christ. They see Peter begin to slip down. They see Jesus reach down and rescue Peter. And then we hear the words of Jesus, oh, why did you doubt? Disciples are watching all this. So this is not just a story about Peter, it's about the apostles as well. The rest of the disciples are where? Are they out on the waves? No, they're sitting there in the boat. They're watching Peter. They have felt the wind. They too feared a ghost when they saw a person walking toward them in the middle of the night on the water. And they watched Peter step overboard and walk toward Jesus. They heard Peter's cries as he began to sink. They saw the strong arm of Jesus lifting back up against above the waves. In short, the disciples had witnessed all of this, including the miracle of their master's walk on the water. How did this supernatural event affect them? Let's read. Mark chapter 6, verse 51. And when they, that is Jesus and Peter, climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Mark adds, for they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about their loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Earlier, they passed out 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed a multitude, taken 12 basketfuls of leftovers. You get more leftovers than you start out with. That's pretty good, isn't it? But evidently, the apostles were so intent on getting all that food distributed and leftovers picked up that the fact of the miracle kind of went in one eye and out the other. You know what I mean? They saw it, but they didn't register it. They didn't think about it. They didn't register what Jesus had done in feeding 5,000. But when they saw Jesus walking across the water, now their eyes are open, and they realize this person, Jesus of Nazareth, they're following, is somebody unique and special and powerful and mighty and good. And their faith begins to come in him to the point when he comes into the boat, they fall down and they worship him. They realize his identity. Truly, you are the Son of God. One major point in the lesson is yours. If you want to walk on water, you've got to step out of the boat. Before we criticize Peter too much for his losing his faith on Jesus and taking his eyes off of Jesus, I want to remember Peter's the only one who got out of the boat. The 12 were not fighting with Peter to see who can get onto the waves. Peter is very willing to trust the Lord enough to get out of the boat. Peter had the problem, he's just a little like me, he's inconsistent. On and off, hot and cold, there and not. Think of the boat. It's a comfort zone. You know what a comfort zone is, don't you? My Lazy Bear boy chair is a comfort zone. I put the footrest up, I put the back. Some of you are going to sleep in church right now thinking about it, aren't you? Okay, that's all right. I'm going to wake you up in a minute. But you know what our comfort zones are, don't you? There are certain places, certain situations we're comfortable, and other places we're not quite so comfortable. Right? Now, lazy boy church chairs are not sinful. Aren't you glad? And being comfortable is not sinful. But there are times that God calls us to leave our comfort zone and respond to Him in faith. Because if we live our life by simply being in our comfort zone and doing what feels good and what feels natural and feeds our comfort, guess what happens in life? Spiritually speaking, we don't get very far, do we? Peter had to get out of his comfort zone. He had to get out of his place of security and safety, that boat, in the middle of a stormy night. But he's the one who volunteered, "Lord, if it's you, ask me to come to you walking on the water." Peter's the one who brought up the idea. But you see, if you want to walk on water, you've got to learn to step out of the boat. You've got to get away from your safety and security. You've got to give up some things that are very precious to you because something more precious is outside that boat, and that is Jesus Christ. Life apart from Jesus may not be ideal. It certainly wasn't ideal in the boat. They were bouncing around on the waves. But you know what? Getting out of that boat seemed a little ridiculous, didn't it? And sometimes following Jesus feels a little ridiculous, doesn't it? Because He's asking us to leave our comfort zone, to do something we haven't done before, to surrender our hearts and lives to Him, to come in repentance, to come recognizing that God is over all and I'm not over all. Your boat may be small and your boat may be battered by the wind, and your boat may be crowded, and life apart from Jesus may not be ideal, but the thought of stepping out onto those waves seems awfully difficult. Here's what I want you to know. Doing the will of Jesus, He's there for you. And when you stumble and fall and you feel yourself slipping because you took your eyes off of Jesus, He's there to reach down and pull you back up again because Jesus is involved in caring about your life. You cannot walk on the waves, but with Him you can. We have to take steps of faith. We have to become Christians. We have to believe in Jesus, that He's God's Son. Trust in Him as God's Son. Repent of our sins. That means turning away from sin. Doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but it means my desire is no longer to live in the comfort zone of the pigsty of faith. My desire is to follow the Lord, even onto the waves of life. You see, God asks us to do some things that are kind of hard sometimes. He asks us to love our enemies. Forgive those who trespassed against us. He asks us to do things that aren't normal in life, to leave our comfort zones, to step out of the boat. If you need to step out of the boat and be baptized into Christ, get out of your comfort zone of just living for yourself and surrender your heart to Jesus in repentance and faith, you can be baptized this morning into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So the blood of Jesus from the cross is applied to your heart, and all of the sins of your life are forgiven. And as long as you walk in the light, you'll continue to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a promise you can take to the bank because it's in the blood of Jesus. This morning, some of you are Christians, but the boat's been kind of comfortable. And Jesus is asking you to take a step of faith. Do something that's unthinkable to the natural mind. Put your own desires aside and do God's will when Jesus says, come. The Spirit will empower your walk with Him. Know that Jesus is mighty and Jesus is good. He has your best interest of heart and He's able to serve. He's able to help. He's able to make a difference in your life. He's able to help you walk on water, i.e. do things that you didn't think you could do. But that requires a surrender of yourself and an act of faith, and a step out of the boat of comfort and peace, and a step to His loving arms. How about you this morning? What step do you need to make toward Jesus? Why don't you make it now? Come to the front. Let your wishes be known. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need the prayers of the body of Christ, Jesus brings new life. That life comes by trusting and obeying Him. Let's stand together and let's sing.